morning. My name is Dan Walden. I am a dear friend of Agnes's, or at least I consider myself that. I certainly consider myself to be privileged to have been her friend and to be here to speak with you today. We already miss our dear friend Agnes, or as I like to call her, Queen Agnes. The name fit her just like those pretty white gloves that she liked to wear to church on Sunday morning. Agnes had what we might call queen energy. Like a queen, she radiated true elegance. Like a queen, she traveled with an entourage and always attracted attention wherever she went. Like a queen, she didn't ask permission to do whatever she wanted to do. And like a queen, she let us all know who was in charge. When I started calling her Queen Agnes, now I didn't yet know that she had been crowned Miss Alabama State University in 1955. Something tells me I'm not the first person who experienced her queen energy. Now, we first met Agnes here in Covington when she followed her dear friend Alice Walker over here from the Lutheran Church in Conyers. I'm sure that the folks at the Lutheran Church missed her, but I'm sure glad that she landed here. From the moment she landed here, she was one of us. She joined the Ambassador Choir and named herself the unofficial group secretary, assembling scrapbook photos and mementos of all the various outings that they went on. She volunteered to serve on the facilities team because she figured that the group of men who take care of this church needed her wisdom and guidance. She helped to form a prayer team to see to the needs of those inside and outside of these walls and to see that those needs were lifted up. Agnes liked to stay busy. She needed to stay busy. Just a few short years ago, when her little white car, and I believe it was called Snowball, right? Am I right? Snowball was taken out of commission. I forget the details, but Snowball was no longer available. Agnes had enjoyed Snowball, and she enjoyed the freedom that came along with having Snowball, the freedom to get up and go wherever and whenever she wanted. But when it became apparent to her that a replacement was not in the cards, Agnes found a way to stay busy by volunteering as a prayer partner for the Guidepost Foundation. When Gay headed off to work in the morning, Agnes got to work herself. She picked up the phone. She made friends with perfect strangers from all over the country. She offered up prayers of intercession on their behalf. She loved those strangers. She loved that job. She loved that job with all the passion that she brought to everything she did in life. And when she was asked what she might tell someone who was thinking of becoming a prayer partner, she said, "I'd tell them to jump in right quick." That, of course, is how Agnes did everything. She didn't mull things over. She didn't wait for permission. She just jumped in right quick. In these last few years, I had the privilege of being Agnes's delivery boy. When new copies of the Guidepost magazine would arrive here at the church, I was directed to carry them over to Agnes with a fresh batch of labels so that she could prepare them for distribution through our devotional ministry team. I would bring her craft supplies that she would then form into these beautiful handmade bookmarks and handmade greeting cards. And on occasion, I would take her a bunch of overripe bananas, because I knew full well that she would eventually turn those into a pan full of the best banana nut bread I ever put my mouth on. It was a little selfish. Every delivery, every trip to see Agnes was really just a cover. It was a cover for an opportunity for me to sit at her kitchen table and enjoy her company while she shared stories of her life before coming to Covington. She spoke with pride about being a public educator during the difficult years of integration in the South. She spoke with sadness about the violence that exploded on a Sunday morning at the 16th Street Baptist Church, killing four innocent girls. She spoke lovingly of her late husband. She bragged about her children. And she told stories about friends and colleagues of hers from Alabama, from Birmingham, who I had never met. During one of those visits, she gave me a copy of a book entitled The Women of Uncommon Valor. The subtitle was Life Stories of Women from Birmingham, Alabama. It was inscribed on the inside by one of the authors, but Agnes inscribed it for me. So it's my book. She had shared stories with me about some of the women featured in this book. Hattie Lamar, a dean of Miles College. Ruth Strong, the first African-American woman to serve as a superintendent of schools in Birmingham, Alabama. As I read the stories of these remarkable women, I learned more about the Birmingham that Agnes loved. And if it bothered Agnes that she wasn't included in this book by the authors, if it bothered her, she never said so. She never told me. But I think that you and I know that if there ever was a woman of uncommon valor, Agnes Ruth Mitchell Campbell, she was one. Rest easy, Queen Agnes. God bless y'all.
I invite you to join me in prayer. You don't have to keep your eyes closed all the time in prayer. If it gets long, you can lift them up. But we're going to pray. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I have a black angel who sits on my bookshelf. You know where she came from, who sent her my way. For you sent the sender my way, our way. And she changed us by her persistent, bossy love. She affected our conversation about justice, about reconciliation, about what it means to be church, a community of faith. She surrounded us, inundated us with notes, words of encouragement, blessings. She fed us with her collections of wisdom and her banana bread. She told us she didn't listen to negativity. She said some things you just can't listen to and preserve a friendship. We give thanks, for she made some uncommon friendships here, some that all but you, Lord, might least expect. That's your Agnes. Gay asked her mama, how do you get along with people up there at the Presbyterian Church with all their rules about decency and order when you've never lived under any rules? But Lord, you know she lived just fine with us. She followed the golden rule, loving her neighbor as herself. And she learned how to work the system. She instilled our first celebration of Black History Month. She smiled that mischievous grin, bright-eyed, when she said it was formally approved by the session. And then she proceeded to make sure it had some things to prick our consciences. Lord, you guided her life. Her passion was born out of growing up in Birmingham, where she was that librarian and teacher of children. Children from her neighborhood with whom she walked to school in the mornings. Some adults thought the young teacher was one of the children. Well, in some ways she was, and that never changed. Thank you. She knew those children, your children killed in the bombing of the church. One was her cousin and pupil. And oh God, you never let her forget. And it motivated her not to let others forget. She followed her calling. Even in her later years, she was pictured in the Rockdale Citizen, protesting, smiling, and waving her sign. She was the first African-American to integrate the Shades Valley Lutheran Church and the first African-American adult member of this church. She has been a blessing, Lord. Oh, how she loved to sing with us. Her husband, Andrew, he was so smart and so handsome, she said, was a teacher, administrator, and a choir director, and they sang together. And she loved the Ambassador Choir here. She was a true ambassador in your name. On one of the very last days before her last trip to the hospital, she spoke of wanting to go to choir practice, to sing your praises with people of faith. Oh Lord, you know she loved jazz. They played it for her in her ICU room. She loved to dance. We can see her still, swaying in her wheelchair and reaching out to us to join her in the dance. The president of the Guidepost Foundation spoke of their cheerful prayer partner, Agnes Campbell. A spotlight on her in their newsletter said that in her prayers with callers twice every week, she was full of faith energy, personal warmth, and loving fellowship. We are grateful she prayed for us. Lord, Agnes claimed over 100 godchildren, she said. A lot of them right here. She held Carl Lewis in her arms long before he could run. Many of us claimed her, called her mama. We're grateful Gay and Drew shared her with us. I can still hear her saying to me, "Pastor Billy, you know I'm the second lady of the church." He said, "Now, I don't want First Lady Theodosia to be jealous." Lord, I can still see her laughing, greeting people at the doors of the church, telling visitors that this is a special place. Welcome them all in Jesus' name. And so now we trust her to your eternal care, grateful for the gift of her life among us and your boundless love beyond what we are able to yet see. Hear our prayers, voiced and silent. And this prayer that she found in the Book of Common Prayer, which she prayed and to which she pointed us, saying, "This is another day, O Lord. I know not what it will bring, but make me ready for whatever it may be. If I am to stand up, help me to stand bravely. If I am to sit still, help me to sit quietly. If I am to lie down, help me to do it patiently. If I am to do nothing, help me to do it gallantly. Make these words more than words. Give me the spirit of your love." Oh God, we give thanks this day. In Jesus' name.